This evening, and we're going to spend the next several, I don't know how many Wednesdays, going through Psalm 37, and I do trust that it'll be a blessing to you. I'm excited about this passage of Scripture. It is a psalm that is quite unique. There are 40 verses to this particular psalm, but it's a unique psalm, and I trust that as we study through it, that God will help us. I am thankful for the Word of God. Aren't you thankful for the Bible this evening? You know, the reality is that the Bible is like no other book. Why? What sets the Bible apart? Well, we know that God is the author, and we know that the Bible is alive. It's a living book. We know that God has given it by inspiration, that He has promised, and He has divinely preserved His Word for us. We can have confidence in our Bibles this evening. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful this evening that God's Word is as relevant today as it was on the very day it was given. The very day that the Holy Spirit of God moved upon David to pen the words of Psalm 37, this passage of Scripture remains as relevant today as it was then. And that's because we serve a God who transcends time. We serve a God who is outside of time. And we find that as we go to the Word of God, we find that God's Word is relevant. Not only is God's Word relevant, but we understand this evening that God's Word is profitable. You think about something being profitable, it's helpful for us, it is beneficial to us. And I'm thankful that God's Word is profitable. It's interesting as we begin to examine the days in which we live, and obviously it's been said many times, and we would agree with the assessment that we're living in the last days. We're living in those last days, and we find that God refers to the last days in the Word of God. In fact, we find that as we study a number of portions of Scripture, that God gives us details and characteristics regarding the days in which we're living. And it's very interesting because there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, in verse number 13, God says this with regard to the last days that we're living in. He said, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." It's very interesting, and I use that verse of Scripture kind of as a springboard into our study of Psalm 37, because the reality is that when you begin reading Psalm 37, immediately David says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." And we find that this idea of those that are evil, those that are evil men referred to in 2 Timothy 3, those that will be referred to multiple times throughout the chapter of Psalm 37 as being the wicked, we find that the evildoers, the wicked, have always existed. And we find that as God would provide us with insight regarding the days in which we're living, with regard to these evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, that as we study the Word of God, that God gives us truth that is relevant today, that is profitable for us on how do we handle the evildoers, the folks that we are in this society with, how do we interact with them? How is it that they would have an influence and an impact upon our own thinking, our own behavior? And we look at this psalm and we find that David is providing just wonderful truth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. We believe that as we study this passage of Scripture, according to verse number 25 of Psalm 37, that it was written later in the life of David. Notice what it says in verse number 25, "I have been young." Some of you said amen and amen, I can relate to that. And then it says this, "and now am old." And again, some can say amen, I relate, I understand. I'm somewhere in the middle, amen. I'm not as young as I used to be, and I'm not quite as old as some of you, amen? But we're somewhere in the middle, and every day we're growing older and older, and there are things that we try to do that remind us that we're getting older, amen? It says this, notice what he says, "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken," praise God, "nor his seed begging bread." Think about David, the psalmist. He says in Psalm 23, we won't quote or rehearse the whole psalm, but he's speaking about the Lord is my shepherd. And we've mentioned several things from that wonderful, familiar psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, and as our shepherd, what does he do? Well, he provides for us. And he's a good provider, amen? Not only does he provide for us, but we're aware of his protection that he gives us, and we're also aware of his presence that is with us. And notice what he says here in verse 25, though I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. No, God's never going to forsake his children, nor his seed begging bread. We look at that verse of Scripture, we'll comment much more on it as we get through the 37th Psalm in weeks ahead, but we find that from that verse of Scripture, it seems quite obvious that David is penning the words of this psalm later in life. We find that the instruction from Psalm 37 is quite unique. I've already mentioned the fact a couple of times of the instruction that's provided here and the uniqueness of this chapter, but it's very interesting. In many of the Psalms, we're familiar with Psalms where they're Psalms of praise. They're Psalms of just rejoicing and praising God. And we find that this Psalm is quite different in the fact it sets itself apart. It's unique for the fact that really it's a Psalm that is full of instruction that really reads more like a chapter from the book of Proverbs than it does a Psalm. It's not to say that it doesn't belong in the Psalms. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's a very unique Psalm. And we find that as we look at the uniqueness of the psalm, and we find that really almost every single verse of this psalm is a standalone principle truth that God gives us, and he's providing this instruction for his children, we find that this instruction is needful. As you study the passage, you'll notice that there are many contrasts that God provides to us with regard to the wicked and the righteous. And he is providing some contrast of behavior and so on and so forth. We find that it's very interesting that as you study Psalm 37, your mind may also race to Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. And it's interesting because really, like Asaph in Psalm 73, there are times in my life and in your life where our focus can become temporal. Can become temporal. Looking at the things here on this earth. And throughout the Word of God, we find that as the people of God, we are instructed to not think temporally, but to think eternally. And what a great truth that we find here in Psalm 37 that I believe will help us as the people of God to have that eternal focus. As we look at verses 1 and 2 this evening, I've simply taken the first phrase of verse number 1 to use as our title for this first lesson, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Notice in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." As we look at these verses of Scripture, we find that God is starting out providing us with this instruction. He will give us many valuable lessons, but tonight as we focus on these two verses, I want you to notice first of all, if you're taking notes, the existence of evildoers. We understand that David simply begins under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, speaking to the people of God of saying, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Again, the phrase, "the wicked," will be used repeatedly through Psalm 37. We find that another descriptive term that is given of the same group of people in verse number 1 is workers of iniquity. And we find that God will provide this truth and help us to understand the existence of evildoers. An evildoer is one that is wicked, one that does evil. And we find that here as we begin to think about the existence of evildoers and how David, again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, just begins immediately by saying, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." We see their existence. We see that the wicked is present. As you study the Word of God throughout the entire Scripture, you find the existence of wicked people, the existence of evildoers. We can read the pages of history outside of the historical content of the book before us this evening, and we can read in those pages of history of evil men. We can see even still today in our society and in our land that there are evil people. And the reality is that I believe this truth tonight is evident, and really there's no need to belabor the point that is before us of the existence of the evildoers, but I do want you to consider what is said in Psalm 73. I mentioned this psalm, and it's one that we'll reference a few times this evening, but I want you to notice how the psalm begins, this psalm of Asaph. In verse number 1 of Psalm 73, it says, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped." Notice what it says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." You ever see the prosperity of the wicked? Sure you do. Sure you do. Jeremiah says this in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Righteous art thou." By the way, aren't you thankful that our God is righteous? It says, "O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" The observation that Jeremiah is making. The reality is that there are times even in our lives this evening that we can see where it seems as if it appears that the wicked, that the evildoers, that they are succeeding, that they're profiting, that they're benefiting. But the reality is it's just temporal. It's just temporal. You know, I thought about this many, many years ago. You know, for a lost person, this earth, this life, is as close as they will ever get to heaven. But for me, and for you if you're saved tonight, it's as close as we'd ever get to hell. Think about that. See, it's our focus. And so we find that Asaph said, listen, when I observed, when I saw the wicked, when I observed these, and I noticed their prosperity, we find the impact because he saw the prosperity of the wicked. And if we're not careful, we can see that prosperity and it can impact us. And so we see the existence of evildoers, but I want you to notice the exhortation to God's people. The exhortation to God's people on in verse number 1 here of Psalm 37, two pieces of instruction are given to the people of God. Number one, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." The idea of the word "fret" really means do not become angry or incensed. That's what the word means. And we find that it is possible that we could get angry at those that are evildoers, that we can look at their behavior, that we can become incensed toward them, and we can observe all that's taking place, and we can just become angry. If we're not careful, you know, the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not," in the book of Ephesians. But the reality is that there are many of angry people that sin. They've not found the place of being angry and sinning not, according to what we find in Ephesians 4. But we find here this evening that he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." I began to meditate upon that thought, and I began to consider about how it is that we can become angry with evildoers, with those that are workers of iniquity, with wicked people, and we could become angry with them. But the reality this evening is that really we should have pity on them. Why? Because they're going to die and go to a Christless eternity. Why do lost people behave like lost people? Because they're lost. I'm not sure if you've ever interacted with someone that is blind physically. But if you've had any interactions with someone that is blind physically, if they bump into you, if they run into you, in a store, in some other place, you're not going to get angry with them. Why? Because they cannot see. They're blind. We have a measure of understanding of their condition, and we have perhaps a measure of compassion because of their condition, and we would not get angry with them. But yet, if we're not careful, we look at the behavior of sinners, of evildoers, of wicked men, and we can become angry with them. become angry with them. Listen, it's one thing to hate sin. We ought to hate sin. We love the sinner. Love the sinner. You know, I had the opportunity, it's several opportunities, but I'll use just one example this evening, of speaking to a man at some point in the past, and as I was speaking to that individual over a course of time, they were so moved by and impressed with a genuine concern for their soul. They would share certain things of wickedness, wicked behavior, different things that had taken place in their life, some that had been recent, some that had been years and years ago. It was almost as if they were looking for someone to judge them, something that they had experienced in the past, of people judging. In fact, I heard someone say this yesterday at a meeting that I was in attendance at, that they went in and a man came in a church service and came to the front, and he was weeping. It was a service at a prison, actually, and he was weeping, and one of the men went over to talk to him, an altar worker, and asked why he was weeping. He said, I want to be saved so bad. He said, okay, well, I mean, why don't you trust Christ as your Savior? He said, because a preacher came by my cell years ago and told me that because of what I did, I could not be saved. And that man lived for years under the anguish of desiring to be saved, but believing that a preacher said you can't because of what you've done. Man, that's sad. And that preacher took the Word of God and showed him what the Scriptures say. That man got down on his knees and he prayed at a makeshift altar in a prison and asked Christ to save him. Isn't that wonderful? To God be the glory. Listen, the Bible tells us this in 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. So we find the first aspect of this exhortation, fret not thyself. Notice he continues in verse number 1. It says this, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, to be jealous of. And we find that this is interesting because this is a recurring thought. If you look to the book of Proverbs in the 24th chapter, I want you to notice what Solomon says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God twice in this 24th chapter of the book of Proverbs. And then I want you to look at what Asaph observes. And the reality is that as we look at this verse of Scripture in Psalm 37 in verse number 1, and it says, neither be thou envious against workers of iniquity, there are some that would say, I'd never be envious of a worker of iniquity. Be careful. The warning is repeated throughout the Word of God for a reason. Because it is absolutely possible for you and for me to be envious at the prosperity of the wicked. We say something like this, I'm over here trying to live for God and trying to do all these things, and I'm trying to give to God like I'm supposed to, and I'm trying to do this and I'm trying to do that, and I got this problem and that problem, and these people over here. Be careful. Be careful. In Proverbs 24 and verse number 1, it says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. Verse 19, fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked. Wow. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, but it is interesting that David is described as the human penman of the 37th Psalm, and Solomon, his son, is the human penman of the book of Proverbs. The consistency between those passages of Scripture with the instruction of the people of God. Notice in Psalm 73, notice Asaph. I love the 73rd chapter of the book of Psalms. So powerful, so helpful. And here's one thing, and you've heard me say this before about the book of Psalms. One of the things I love about the book of Psalms is the transparency of the psalmist. You know, sometimes we have a hard time being transparent. We have a hard time with anyone thinking that we're something less than what we really want people to think we are. Paul had it in the complete opposite. He said, I don't want anyone to think more highly of me than they should. And the reality is that in the 73rd Psalm, Asaph is being completely transparent. Notice he says in verse 3, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Notice in verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily, but yet they have more than their heart could wish. Notice what he says in verse number 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Yeah. It happened back then, and it still happens today, and it's been happening all throughout human history. And so we find that as we come to the 37th Psalm, that the instruction is given to the people of God. Listen, we must have a focus that is not temporal, a focus that is eternal. We must not consider just their temporary pleasure, their prosperity, but what is for a moment. We must understand that God says, listen, fret not thyself because of these evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why? Well, notice in verse number 2, if you're taking notes, point number 3, the end of evildoers. The end of evildoers. We see their existence. We see there's exhortation to the people of God. But then we see the end of evildoers in verse number 2. I want you to notice these words that begin verse number 2. It says, for they shall soon. I'll finish the verse in just a moment, but we know that they is referring back to the group that's discussed in verse number 1, the evildoers, the workers of iniquity, and so we understand contextually what's being spoken of, but then notice that third word in verse number 2, shall. That's a word of certainty, is it not? It's not a word of perhaps this is going to happen. It could happen. It might happen. No, the Word of God says, for they, those evildoers, those workers of iniquity, they shall, and then the word says soon, the fourth word of verse number 2, soon. Now, soon is relative. And you say, well, it's not soon enough. Remember, eternity is real. And those that would be evildoers and workers of iniquity, they will spend eternity in a lake of fire. Listen, our heart should be for them to be saved. Paul says in Romans 9, in Romans 10, speaking about his brethren, the people of Israel, he said, my heart's desire is what? That they would be saved. Listen, if God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, should not we have a similar desire for people to be saved? We find that the Bible says, for they shall soon, notice two expressions that are given, be cut down like the grass. He's using two very familiar examples that are relatable to human beings. The grass being cut down. He uses the second, it says, and not only to be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. That's their end. As we go throughout the 37th Psalm, again, we'll see many references with regard to the righteous and with regard to the wicked and understanding that eternal perspective versus the temporal perspective. And we find this, as we've referenced Psalm 73 a few times already this evening, notice what is said as Asaph, after he goes through and reveals in transparent fashion his own difficulty with observing the prosperity and the increase of the wicked, notice what he says in verse number 17. In Psalm 73 and verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. It's easy tonight, living in a time that is described by God in His Word as being the last days, in a time in which is characterized by evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, it is easy for us to be angry at evildoers. It really is. Again, I'm not suggesting that we don't hate sin. I'm not suggesting that we don't stand for righteousness. But we understand that I was in that same helpless condition, but God, who is rich in mercy. You remember Ephesians 2? We won't take the time this evening to read the first four verses of Ephesians 2, but Paul clearly indicates that we all had our conversation in time past. We're all in the same boat. And if someone had not brought the gospel to you, in God's grace and God's mercy, perhaps we'd be peddling the same wicked ideas. Right? I'm so thankful for God's grace. And when I look at evildoers, listen, it's easy to get upset. It really is. I understand. Evildoers have always, it's always been that evil after the fall, right? There's evil throughout the whole of Scripture. Instead of being angry, we consider their end. So, man, I need to pray for these folks. I need to pray that they'd be saved. Share the gospel with them. Pray that God would open their hearts, open their minds. Listen, it's easy tonight to see the prosperity of the wicked and become envious. I'm trying to do all these things and they're over there living like that, and look at them and look at me. Oh no, don't go down the path. Honestly, don't go down the path. Because one day, as we sang this evening, because our names are written in the book of life, one day we're going to see our Savior face to face. And for all of eternity, for all of eternity, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, we're going to be with Him in heaven. It's having that eternal focus, not that temporal focus. This evening, I trust that as we begin studying the 37th Psalm, we see in these two verses really an introduction of how things are dealt with and some instruction for us. But then as we move through the passage in the next several verses, God gives us a number of things that we ought to do. Instead of fretting, instead of being envious, here's what we should do. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. I mean, he just goes through and he gives us all of this instruction. And I hope over the next several weeks as we study Psalm 37 that God would help us in the day in which we live. Because just as David and the children of Israel dealt with the existence of evildoers and workers of iniquity, it still remains today. And God's truth from Psalm 37 is relevant for us. And it ends with this wonderful promise in verse 39 and 40. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He, the Lord, is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in Him. We serve a wonderful God. And I hope that God would use this passage of Scripture over the next several weeks to help each of us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the Word of God. I thank you so much for giving us the Bible. I thank you for preserving the Word of God for us. I pray, Lord, that as we study this passage of Scripture over the next several weeks, that you'd help us. We acknowledge this evening that we live in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation where evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. God, help us to be mindful of their end. Help us to have an eternal focus. Help us to stand for righteousness. Help us, Lord, to be preachers of the gospel, knowing that just as the gospel changed our lives, we are new creatures in Christ. That same gospel has the power to change the lives of those still today. We're so thankful for the privilege of serving you. We pray that you'd bless our time of prayer. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.